Welcome back to hour two of the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio this morning. I want to start off with a really, really important request. Could you please wish Hannah Doherty McCarran of Clead Clonmany and Manchester a very happy 100th birthday today. Family are travelling from all over Donegal today to help her celebrate, wishing them all a good and safe journey, and that comes from Hannah's family. Many thanks, and Hannah Doherty McCarran, Clead Clonmany and Manchester, have a wonderful, wonderful birthday. I hope you have a great day. Now, the Irish Blood Transfusion Service have been in touch. They are in Donegal this week. Today, they're in Killybegs in St. Catherine's School. They're there from 6 o'clock until 20 to 10 this evening. Tomorrow there, and on Thursday, indeed, they're in Donegal Town, the Abbey Hotel on the Diamond in Donegal Town. They're there tomorrow from 3 until 5:15, and again from 7 until 20 to 10. And they're in the Abbey Hotel again on Thursday from 2:30 until 20 to 7 that evening. So they're there tomorrow, as I say, from 3 until 5:10, and then 7 to 20 to 10. And then on Thursday, they're in the Abbey Hotel from 2:30 until 20 to 7. And today they're in Killybegs in St. Catherine's School in Killybegs, to be precise. And they're there from 6 o'clock this evening until 20 to 10 tonight. And if you're in a position to give blood, it's a very important service. Caller asks, I wonder what the age profile was of the Fianna Fáil vote versus Sinn Féin in the general election. Would it be a case that a larger aged profile of the electorate voted for Fianna Fáil, possibly against, in some cases, their own children's desire for redress-leaning candidates? Thus, Thomas Pringle loses his seat and the minister that they wished toppled remained. Now, I think there is no doubt that there is probably a core Fianna Fáil vote that is a little older. There are those who will have grown up in that sort of traditional, you know, is it a Fianna Fáil house or a Fine Gael house? And that would have been a big thing years back. I mean, you know, I know certainly my beloved wife comes from a mixed marriage where one of her parents was Fianna Fáil and one of her parents was Fine Gael. But, I mean, and I think that's losing its relevance to a large extent. So, I mean, certainly my children would have no political leanings. And quite frankly, my children, if you ask my children what's the history of Fianna Fáil versus Fine Gael, they'd look at you blankly and they wouldn't really know. They would be working very much on the local personalities and the people they know and, you know, the people they hear on the radio and read about in the papers, etc. So I think that traditional maybe Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael thing is gone. It's certainly no longer a two-party state. I mean, that's been made absolutely clear. The days when basically Ireland was Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and a couple of others, that day's gone, well and truly gone. In terms of Fianna Fáil, yeah, I'm sure there is a slightly older cohort of people that will be voting in that way. But, I mean, if you look at people, for instance, I mean, and I'm just going to pluck one name out, you look at Ben Harkin, for instance, from Young Fianna Fáil, very articulate young man. He was going to run for the nomination, but withdrew from the convention. But, I mean, you know, a highly articulate young man who's in his 20s and, you know, there are young people there who will be supportive as well. It's an interesting question, and thank you to Washington for putting it there. It's one to put out there. But no, I mean, I would certainly... Yes, there is probably an older cohort who would be more likely to vote for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but that's not to say that there aren't young, and there's young articulate people in Fine Gael and in Fianna Fáil and in Sinn Féin and in all the parties. A very important issue. And Paul messages to say, I'm just messaging to raise the serious concern with regards to sudden death and suicide among young men in Donegal. It's out of control. We need to come together as a county to save our young men. Is there enough support in the county? Do we need resources or expertise? Five individuals have been elected this week. This is something they need to start addressing. A vision and support for young men in Donegal. And Paul, I don't think anyone would disagree with that. It has been an issue in the past. It is an issue to this day, and we do certainly need a conversation in Dublin and in our own homes with regards to this issue and what needs to be done. There is more of an emphasis now than ever before on mental health, and particularly the mental health of young men, and that conversation needs to continue and to be amplified. I don't think anyone could disagree with that. Well, this is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It is a Tuesday morning. And it being a Tuesday morning, that means only one thing.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 912-6025.
And it is time indeed for Garda Community Information on the programme this morning. Delighted to welcome Ain to studio, Garda, Gráinne Doherty. Gráinne, good morning. Gráinne, we're going to start, and it's a sad place to be starting, but a fatal road collision earlier this week in Inishowen.
Yes, Gardaí are appealing for witnesses following a fatal road traffic collision. This occurred near Buncrana on Sunday the 1st of December. The single vehicle collision occurred on the R244, so on the mountain road there, short outside Buncrana, at Ballinlock, shortly after 5 a.m. The driver and the sole occupant of the car, an adult male in his teens, was fatally injured in this collision, Tiernan Doherty. And I'd just like, on behalf of us all at Garda Síochána, to pass our condolences to Tiernan's family and close friends. We are appealing for any witnesses to this collision to come forward. Any road users who may have camera footage, dash cam footage, who were travelling in that area between 4:30 a.m. and 5:30 a.m. are asked to make this footage available to the investigating Gardaí. Anybody with any information is asked to contact Buncrana Gardaí on 932-0540, the Garda Confidential line on 1800-666-111, or any Garda station.
And staying on the roads in Inishowen, an incident on the north of the peninsula on Sunday night.
Yeah, a number of hours later, actually on the same date, Sunday the 1st. So Garda, you're investigating this collision. It's involved a single vehicle. It occurred at Culkeeney Mallon. So it was on the Mallon to Glengad Road, just near the Fisherman's Inn there, on Sunday the 1st of December, shortly after 11:45 p.m. This car collided with a building at that location. The single female occupant of the car was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital and remains there to receive medical treatment for serious injuries sustained. So Gardaí and Buncrana are appealing for any witnesses to this collision to come forward. Any road users, again, who might have dash cam footage and who may have been travelling in that area between 11:30 p.m. and 11:50 p.m. are asked to make this footage also available to investigating Gardaí. Again, anyone with information is asked to contact Buncrana Garda Station on 932-0540, the Garda Confidential line again on 1800-666-111, or any Garda station.
Now going back now to Tuesday of last week, and again, a car and a pedestrian involved in an incident in Buncrana.
Yeah, Garda are appealing for witnesses to this collision. It involved a car and a pedestrian at the Dr. Dennis McLaughlin Road in Buncrana on Tuesday the 26th of November in and around 5:20 p.m. The pedestrian concerned was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. No other injuries were reported. So we're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this collision to make contact with Gardaí in Buncrana again on 932-0540. Quite a busy time of the evening, 5:20 p.m. You know, and we're hopeful somebody may have been in that area with a dash cam. And if they were, as always, we ask them to please make that footage available to us.
Heading out toward West Dungola, I remember years ago we used to get lots of appeals for thefts of copper piping and copper from houses. And one of those to report this week.
Yeah, so this burglary, it occurred in the area of Drumnarragh, Creasla, between Friday the 25th of October and Saturday the 30th of November. So it was only recently realised that this had taken place. A vacant house in that area was entered after the back door had been forced open. A copper cylinder was stolen from the hot press within the house. We're appealing to anybody who may have observed any suspicious activity or vehicles in that area over the course of those few weeks to make contact with Gardaí in Milford on 91-53060. Any relevant information may alternatively be passed on to the Garda Confidential line. And just incidents just such as these, I know it was a thing in the past, I think it might have been maybe again this time last year, that there was quite a number of these sorts of incidents. So I know there's quite a few weeks span here, there's about 4 weeks, you know, time span, but it just serves as a good reminder also to people, you know, that these incidents are happening, these criminals are out, they're out and about in the dark hours, the wee hours. And just to take precautions, you know, keep an eye out for your neighbours, especially if you have neighbours who are maybe vulnerable or elderly living alone. You know, keep a wee eye out. If you ever see vehicles around their house or any vehicles in your area that just seem a wee bit untoward, jot down the registration number. Please do contact us. Make us aware. Any activity that just doesn't seem right, doesn't sit right with you, please do make Gardaí aware. We're also asking people as well, just please secure your homes, turn on your lights, make sure your house is locked. And don't keep any valuables in there. You know, if you have valuables such as jewellery that you have to keep at home, keep them in a secure safe. but don't keep large amounts of cash at home.
And maybe in terms of homes that are vacant, perhaps have a timer on lights or something, just because it's clear, as you said, from this point of view, it happened pretty much at some stage over the month of November. So we can assume from that the house was vacant for the month of November. Maybe no harm just to have a timer on the lights, have lights go on and off, basically give the impression that there's somebody life around.
Yeah, well, even those dusted on lights, have them, you know, to the rear around the property so that the exterior of the house, even it is a vacant house, so that it's lit up. When darkness falls, these lights will come on and off automatically, or maybe ask a neighbour or somebody just to check in on the house regularly for you.
Moving on, Grainne, to a criminal damage incident in Convoy last week.
Yes, this incident happened in the area of Clockcore Convoy in the early hours of Thursday the 28th of November in around 2:50 a.m. A bedroom window of a house in that area was smashed and a window to the side of the front door also. So we're appealing to anybody, again, who may have travelled in that area with a dash cam between 2:30 a.m. and 3 a.m. to make the footage available to Gardaí. If you hadn't got a dash cam, if you were out and about in the roads that night and you observed any vehicles seemed untoward or any activity, please let us know also. Anybody with any relevant information can contact Letterkenny Garda Station on 91 67 100.
A car theft now in Letterkenny took place last week.
Yes, so this car was stolen from Manderley Court Car Park down near Larkins Lane there in Letterkenny between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. on Thursday the 28th of November. The car in question is a black Ford Mondeo, registration number 162C6166. Should anybody have any information in relation to the theft of the car or in relation to its current location, we're asking them to contact Letterkenny Gardaí on 91 67 100, and as always, for all of our appeals, the Garda Confidential line may be contacted on 1800 666 111.
Fraudulent notes coming back in, and they seem to come and go with depressing regularity on the slot. But again, another issue with regards to counterfeit £50 sterling notes this time.
Yeah, well, actually, this was on air with you here two weeks ago. There was a couple of incidents reported in the Buncrana area. Unfortunately, since then, we've had another couple of incidents reported just in recent days, actually. So it was in our warning that we issued 2 weeks ago was in relation to counterfeit £50 sterling notes. They were Bank of Scotland notes. They were in circulation in Buncrana on Saturday the 16th of November. So since then, on the 24th of November, a man and a woman entered a shop, the same shop, on two separate occasions during the day on November 24th in Buncrana. They both presented counterfeit 50 sterling notes, again Bank of Scotland notes. They received their change for their items that they bought, they left the store. And it was only afterwards that it was realised that these notes were fraudulent. On November 26th, a man entered a takeaway in Buncrana, ordered food. He paid using this counterfeit sterling £50 note. And when he received his change, he immediately left. He didn't wait to hang around to collect his food, he just left. And that was very similar to the incident that occurred on November 16th. So just for maybe food outlets, restaurants, takeaways, just to take that on board that these people don't hang around for the food either. You know, just be very cautious. Around the Buncrana area, but around Donegal in general, I mean, it's not confined to Buncrana. I'm sure this could happen anywhere within the county. So we're just urging all business owners in Buncrana and right across Donegal to be aware that these fake notes are in circulation, to advise their staff to thoroughly check all notes received, especially now we're entering a very busy shopping season. And some of these notes can be produced in a very professional manner. And the best way to ensure that it is genuine currency is to have staff use a counterfeit note checker pen or similar methods at the points of payments. Just be alert. We're just advising all retailers.
Yeah, obviously there'll be quite a lot of Northern Ireland banknotes in circulation, particularly at this time. I wouldn't have thought there'd be that many Bank of Scotland notes in circulation within Donegal.
No, well, that was all Bank of Scotland notes now within the past few weeks within. But then, look, that's not to say. You could just as easily get a fake €50 note or a €20 note. So just all points, any notes handed in whatsoever. And sometimes I think too, maybe I know I worked in a shop years ago and it would have been, you know, especially I find when you're a teenager that you're a wee bit cautious about, you're kind of feeling embarrassed because the person's standing there and it looks like you don't trust them and you're there checking their notes. Don't be one bit embarrassed. It's just, look, make it a policy in your store, check all notes, regardless of what the currency is.
And I suppose in particular, if it's a Bank of Scotland 50, and you can't see too many of those, I mean, absolutely, maybe be doubly careful.
Be extra wary.
A lot of talk this week, obviously. Last Friday was Black Friday, and yesterday was Cyber Monday. And these days, of course, Black Friday seems to start on the 1st of November and last until December 10th. And the same with the Cyber Monday thing. So a lot of online shopping taking place this week. A lot of people going online in cases. And I'm sure over the next couple of weeks, as well, people go, oh God, I never got X for such and such a person. Yeah. And they'll rush on, and maybe the first chance they get to buy X, they'll jump on it and they'll buy it. And hand over details that on a normal time in the year they wouldn't even dream of putting online. No. And it is time to be careful.
It is. And as you say, Black Friday and Cyber Monday, back a few years ago, it was on the Friday and it was on the Monday, and now it lasts over, and it's going to continue over the next few weeks, you know. There's going to be lots of bargains advertised online. So, and especially, look, with Christmas fast approaching, there's going to be an increase in the numbers of people shopping online. Some scams can be very obvious, you know, and others can be more elaborate and very difficult to recognise. So just knowing what to look for and how to avoid scams is the best way to stay safe. So the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau, they have issued a number of tips to help protect against online fraud. They're calling them the golden rules of online shopping. So we're just asking people to use secure websites, trusted sources. Make sure that the website you're on is real, not cloned or fake. Make sure your internet access is secure. Make sure there is a HTTPS at the beginning of the web address and a padlock symbol displayed, because the website address before a purchase is made, this indicates a secure connection. The padlock symbol doesn't make a website legitimate on its own. When the beginning of the retailer's website address changes from HTTP to HTTPS before a purchase is made, it means you can be sure then that that is a secure connection. I know I'm going through a lot here. Mm-hmm. It's actually all up on our Garda Facebook page too for people to look at after the show, that they can go through these tips online. Check reviews. That's very important. Check reviews for this. If it's a new website you haven't used it before, go online and check reviews to make sure that it is genuine. Check the ratings for the website. Look for the trust seals. Trust seals are commonly placed on home pages, login pages and checkout pages. They're immediately recognisable and they just remind you that you are secure when you're using that page. Always use credit cards when purchasing online because they have a strong customer protection policy. Alternatively, use an online payment option. Do not send money directly to someone you don't know. That's common sense. You know, you're not going to give money to a random person on the street, so it's no different when you're spending money on the internet. Never send your credit card details, including your PIN number or any other information, to anybody by email. If you don't complete a purchase, don't submit or save your card details. Never purchase through social media or where the offer came to you via social media, because if there's so many scams now on social media, just be extra careful. Yep. Stop, think and check before committing to buy anything online. There's consumer review sites such as Trustpilot.com, quite a good one there. You can go on and read reviews from other customers from before yet to see how reliable the website is. You should use check.cyberskills.ie and fraudsmart.scamchecker.ie. I went on to that one last night. Yep. The Fraud Smart one.
Yep.
And you just go in and there's a box there. You input the website that you're planning to spend
and
your money on.
I have it open on my own phone. It's a great, lovely yellow colour. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. It's great. It gives you all the warnings, any warnings associated with it, whether to trust it, when, you know, and it's so easy to do. And please.
And actually, you don't even have to put in the Fraud Smart. Just scamchecker.ie.
Scamchecker.ie. It'll get you there. That's it. It's as simple as that. Yeah. And you could save yourself a fortune if you go on there, and it's worth taking the few minutes to do that before you buy online.
Yeah, and in case anyone's wondering, well, I was speaking earlier to Mark Ford from the Central Bank, and I mentioned to him that there was a really good app launched recently, and he agreed. That's the one I was talking about, yeah. The Scam Checker. We had a story up about it on the news yesterday as well. So that was just launched by FraudSmart. So that is a really, really important one. And sort of just be careful out there. We all have, there are major ones that we do shop with. And just remind you, by the way, and I just want to put the little local plug in here. The Buy Donegal campaign is running at the moment, and there's a website whereby you can hook up through the Buy Donegal website, which is run by Donegal County Council and others, and it gives you the opportunity to make contact with local firms here in Donegal, and you could buy online or in person. And if you're considering your online shopping, let's just say, as well as your big conglomerates like your Amazons, there's Buy Donegal initiatives out there as well, and they're worth a look and consideration as well.
Important to shop local.
Oh, absolutely. Let's look at an event that's coming up on this coming Friday. And the Giblin family in Letterkenny always put on a wonderful Christmas event. And you just want to have a little word to those who are going to have a look.
Yeah, so Friday, this coming Friday is, right, December 6th at 6 p.m. The annual Christmas Nativity Lights event, and it's an aid in multiple of multiple charities. It kicks off every year in this Lennon. So it's kicking off this Friday at 6 p.m. This event draws quite a large crowd in. So we just want road users, residents in that area, just to remind them really that the event is on, to remind them that traffic may be heavy in the area around that time. And we're just asking everybody who's planning on attending to please park in a responsible manner. Don't block access for residents, you know, in the area. And don't block access for emergency services, most importantly. And just don't park in an illegal manner, really. Gardaí will be there to manage the traffic. And we're asking everybody, as always, and in fairness, people do every year. We're very appreciative. They always do obey all instructions given by us. So we'd ask them to do the same this year, please.
Yeah, and fair play to people like Tom and his family and the Warriskies in Fannet as well. For there's so much wonderful work it gets done putting up lights and things like that. So please just do anything we can, really, to make sure that it all goes smoothly. Before you go, Gráinne, we got a press release in from the Garda Press Office that they've been crunching some numbers and people's perception of An Garda Síochána's work in their community remains positive. That's according to the Garda Public Attitude Survey. 89% of respondents trusting An Garda Síochána, the vast majority of young people at 90%, and 87% saying they're treated with respect by Gardaí. That they're gratifying figures, particularly for people who are working in the sort of the community Garda area.
It is, yeah. So it's great. It's brilliant this morning to hear such positive feedback from the public attitude survey. You know, and it is. It's extremely important to us that the public have confidence in us and that they have confidence in us as an organisation and also in the services that we provide to them. And we certainly do strive to provide the best service that we can to our community. So we're delighted this morning with those figures.
And I suppose, too, from the community Garda point of view, you know, the more that's done at community level, the more you're increasing trust, and maybe the more you're also in one way preventing incidents from taking place, generating that trust, generating that level of knowledge. And the more that Gardaí can do in terms of reaching out to people, the less potential there is for trouble, and you know, the more harmony and peace there's going to be.
Of course, yeah. And the community policing side of our job is it's really lovely. You know, you're meeting everybody from all walks of life, all ages. You're out in the creches, you're in the schools, you're at local events, community events. We go to the Wednesday clubs, the Friday clubs, meet the elderly, you know, so it's great. And you build up a rapport too with people. You know, you get to know them in and out. When we're on the beat, we're in and out of the shops and talking to the staff and getting to know people within. It's kind of more old school, school style of policing, really, the way it was years ago, where the guards would have known, you know, everybody's name in the community. And it is a really nice area of policing to be in, definitely.
Absolutely. Gráinne Doherty, Garda Gráinne Doherty, thank you very much indeed for that. And we obviously, if anyone can help with anything there, they can call the Garda station as outlined. We'll be putting all this on our website. It'll be on the Garda Síochána Donegal website as well. And look, the bottom line, as we always say, you don't necessarily need to call the Garda station number itself. If you get in touch with any Garda station, that they'll be able to help you. And finally, as I always do, could you just give us a final blast of the Garda confidential line, just in case people want to use that?
Yeah, 1800 666 111. And as I said before, you're not even talking to a human being when you ring that number. It's an automated service. It's like leave your message after the bleep. So you don't even have to provide so much as your name. You can just give whatever information you have to give and hang up. Totally confidential.
Gráinne, thank you very much indeed.
No problem.
The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Just want to remind you of our Secret Santa competition in conjunction with Cadbury, their Secret Santa promo. It's in its seventh year. To celebrate the return of the Secret Santa promo, they have 22,000 chocolate bars to give away. We also have two huge hampers that can be won. There's also a €50 voucher to be won every day. All you need to do is tell us who you would want to surprise with a Secret Santa bar this year. Why do they deserve it? What good reason do you have to surprise someone with a Cadbury Secret Santa bar? Tell us about that person in your life who deserves that treat. You could win €50 today. You also get into a draw to win a Cadbury hamper for you and your Secret Santa. And with all thanks to Cadbury Secret Santa, don't forget, if you want to send a bar to someone in secret, look out for the special posters around the country. And you can text or WhatsApp us on 086 6025000 with your nominations as to who you would like to see win one of those Secret Santa bars. And I think my camera has just fallen down. Yeah, that looks a bit better. I think you want to see me rather than see the mixer. Well, mind you, the mixer is probably better looking than I am, but we won't worry about that too much. Now, and you can, as I say, with your nomination, just send in the name of your nomination, why you're nominating them. Send that to 086 60 25000. Just mark it Cadbury Secret Santa, and we can take it from there. Now, we need to discuss a very important issue. Almost one in seven Irish people believe a woman is at least partially responsible if she suffers sexual violence while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. That's according to the findings of new EU-wide research. We're joined by Dr. Marie Hainsworth on Zoom. Marie is manager of Donegal Domestic Violence Services. Marie, I have to say, I was shocked when I saw that some people still believe that a woman who is assaulted in some way is to blame? I mean, I thought those days were gone. I obviously was wrong.
No, I suppose it wouldn't be a surprise to those of us working in the sector when you hear the stories and certainly hear, you know, when clients are coming through, not just our service, but I mean, we do have quite a detail, you know, a number of sexual assault supports within Donegal, you know, the Sexual Assault Rape Crisis Centre and also SATU, the Sexual Assault Treatment Unit. And they would both report, you know, I suppose because quite a high number of people who are reporting sexual assaults tend to be younger people. And younger people, obviously, you know, it's within a socialisation setting. So alcohol tends to be involved, whereas that doesn't mean to say that there aren't sexual assaults happening with people not taking alcohol in an older age bracket. It's just that they are probably more reluctant to come forward or feel, if you look at some of those other findings there where people believe within a domestic violence, you know, within a relationship, for example, that it's OK for a man to have sex with his partner, whether she wants it or not. You know, those kind of values are making it difficult for people to come forward. So in some ways, the other side of that is I also feel that there is a little bit when it comes to victim blaming, people are trying to justify their own safety in some ways. You know, it's like, well, if that happened to them, it happened because they were drinking. It didn't just happen to them. So therefore, it's not going to happen to me. If I choose not to take a drink, it's not going to happen to me. And that's a very distorted way of thinking about safety, because it's obviously not the case, you know. So there's two aspects going on there. People grappling to understand what's actually happening in a sexual assault, and also people trying to distance themselves a little bit and say, it's not really happening to me. It's not going to happen on my watch. I can't possibly be a victim. You know, it's this kind of a psychological response in some ways. So they're the two aspects to it, you know. But yeah, attitudes are slow to change. You know, it is across the EU. It's not just, you know, it's a small sample from Ireland. I think there's only like 1,000 involved. So in some ways, it's a little bit maybe distorted. We don't know. But it does back up what we're seeing in terms of who is the main cohort of people who are coming forward to make disclosures. And that can be impacting what goes across in the media, what's reported in kind of court reports, and people's association then as to what's involved with sexual assault.
Speaking of the willingness of women and others to come forward, is it the case that if you have information like this out in the public domain that suggests there is still an element of blame being attributed by a section of the population, does that undermine the person making the complaint? As in, do they start to think, oh, I wonder if I had done something differently, could I have prevented it? And in making them think that, it undermines their case, it undermines their self-confidence, because I'm sure it takes a huge amount of self-confidence to, and perhaps not self-confidence isn't the word, but commitment to go forward with the case. And I would have thought that, you know, if you're putting this information out there that, oh, a section of society thinks you're to blame, are they going to think, oh, well, maybe, and then they don't come forward, or they feel themselves that maybe they don't have a case, which is even worse.
Well, absolutely. And if that attitude is there in society, it's not just there in terms of the victim, but it's there to whoever they disclose to. You know, they're going to assume that people, like whether it's the guards or whether it's family or friends or whether it's the GP, they're going to assume that they hold those views as well, which doesn't help. We were at a conference yesterday where actually SATU and Sexual Assault Unit and ourselves and also the Alcohol Regional Drugs Task Force were there. So this discussion around women, sexual assault and alcohol was happening yesterday in Donegal. And out of that, you know, one of the things that came clear from SATU was, you know, every woman who makes a disclosure of sexual assault feels guilty. You know, every woman that has come forward through their service has said that they felt that they were responsible. And yet that's not the case. You know, we're still having conversations where we're fixated on the victim and we're not even looking and talking about what's happening with perpetrators. So there does need to be a shift. You know, it's not just about how can we prevent it and the only person who can prevent it is the victim. No, how can we prevent perpetrators believing that this is okay to do this? And how can we challenge that attitude? And how can we challenge when we hear family members, for example, you know, it's coming up to Christmas, you're going to get lots of family members around, some of whom beliefs you don't agree with. How can we challenge that, you know, without it becoming a major row maybe, but also without allowing that discourse to continue where we accept it? Might not do it in our own family, but we accept it in somebody else's family, because that needs to be challenged, you know.
We often have this conversation and we speak about this needs to go down to the schools and to the civics classes, as we would have called it, SPHE, I suppose, is what it would be these days. But we need to have this discussion in schools. We need to have this discussion in the workplace. It's a discussion that needs to be had right across society.
Oh, it does. You know, I mean, another of those figures was talking there where it was quite acceptable to a significant number of people to make disparaging sexual comments to colleagues in the workplace. You know, now that's not, you know, we had thought we'd move beyond that, you know, and it is important that, you know, we do have recourses where we can take complaints to different commissions and stuff. But at the same time, that's a lot of energy and work and effort on individual victims to have to keep holding society to account. You know, what can we do to kind of support that at a more general level? And schools definitely are having conversations with people in their peer group, you know, so that it can be made relevant to what's going on in their own lives. But also conversations in, you know, where do young people get most of their influence from? It's other peers and it's from their family. You know, it's not necessarily from school. So we need to make sure that the conversation is happening at every forum that people are involved in.
We like to think that we've gone well beyond the Benny Hill wolf whistles from builders on a building site sort of style of society and discourse. Does this suggest we're not as far away from that as we'd like to think?
I think we kind of make excuses, you know, and we might laugh things off a little bit, but you have to think about it. You know, if a woman's walking down the street and a couple of, you know, guys are there making cat, you know, wolf whistles to her, and then she walks on a bit further and one of them decides to follow her and drag her down an alleyway and rape her. Like, where does that sexual assault actually start? You know, it started way back at the site with the whistles and the acceptance that it was okay to objectify this person, which then for the person who is going to go on and perpetrate a sex assault or a rape, you're giving that message that, oh, well, that's okay. So therefore, the next stage is not such a big leap, you know. So you're making everything unsafe for people. And another interesting statistic that Satu mentioned was 50% of women throughout the course of their life will be sexually assaulted at some point. And the other 50% by default are going to be spend their time worrying that they're going to be that figure. So it makes it a very unsafe place, not just for women. You know, 30% of men will also experience sexual assault if you include childhood as part of that, which we do, you know, as part of the life process. So there's a significant amount of the population who spend a lot of time worrying that they are going to be treated or sexually assaulted, having to make safety plans, having to consciously be thinking about what it is they're drinking, where they're going, how they're going to get home, who's going to be with them, you know, and that mindset is stressful. Like, and we wonder why we live in a society that is so ill with stress and other ailments. So, you know, it has wider repercussions that we're not considering at the moment.
And there needs to be perhaps a consciousness then, based on what you're saying, there needs to be a consciousness among men in particular that comments we make to each other could potentially be seen as enabling or encouraging, even if we don't mean them to be so. We have to be careful as to how comments we may make. To us, it may appear like a joke. To somebody else, it may appear like permission.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we're not, you know, we're not looking at the bigger picture necessarily. And I think that's what we need to start doing, you know, that we're spotting it at an earlier stage, that we're challenging it right at the beginning. We're not waiting for things to escalate to a point where, because the impact of sexual assault, you know, stays with the victim for life. You know, the perpetrator, it may be just a passing moment, but for the victim, it's something that stays with them for the rest of their life. It impacts their future relationships. It impacts their mental health and their capacity to live fully. So, you know, it is important that we try and bring this to a halt, you know?
A caller has made a comment, and I can sort of see where the caller is coming from here. And I'll put this to you. They're saying, I keep telling my grandchildren they have to look out for themselves. Don't get drunk and go back to a room with a man or a woman. It is the same as telling them to look before they cross the road. It's not telling them that anyone has a right to assault them. Why, oh, why would you not think it's important to warn them to please take care? Don't cross the road without looking both ways. Don't get into a car when you know the driver is drunk. Now, I recall there was a media personality, should we say, some years ago, got into hot water and ultimately lost his job because he made comments that were seen as being highly insensitive. And I get the impression that this caller is saying, look, I mean, are you telling me I shouldn't be warning people, you know, to look out for themselves? And it's almost like there's some people are almost, you know, we still need to say to people, look after yourself, take care.
Yeah, no, we do, you know, and it's not just about sexual assault. I mean, I would have always told my kids as teenagers, you know, to stick together. You know, if somebody drinks too much and they're ill, you know, you're not going to leave them abandoned on the roadside. You know, there is this, we're trying to encourage a sense of looking out for each other and being supportive, not just minding yourself, but looking after your peers as well. And that message is given to both boys and girls, yep. You know, that you're not saying just to the girls, you need to look after yourself, but you're saying to the boys, go out and have a few drinks, but don't start acting the maggot, you know, and thinking that this gives you the right then to start doing whatever, you know, with girlfriends, you know, that you're teaching both parties to look after themselves, look after their peers, and to be respectful for themselves, you know. So no, I don't think it's a message that you're not telling people to look after themselves, but I'm saying we need to be a bit broader as well, and we need to make sure we are talking to everybody, not just the potential victims as we see it.
Yeah, because it's almost, some people almost now fear that if I, you know, advise people, you know, to look after themselves, am I inadvertently or unconsciously opening the door to victim blaming, or suggesting the victim blaming is the thing? And I think sometimes people can go down rabbit holes almost in their own minds. They're so conscious of trying to say the right thing that they don't know what to say at all. And I think that can be an issue sometimes in conversations like this.
Yeah, and it is just about, all we're asking people to do is to think a bit broader, you know, don't just focus on the potential victim, but also what are you saying to the potential perpetrators, you know, or what are you saying to the bystanders? If people are by, you know, are you teaching your young fellas that if they see a girl that is, you know, obviously been abandoned or has lost her friends and is wandering around and is under the influence, are you teaching them to say, look, let's go over to her and make sure she gets a taxi and just send her off on her own? You know, don't just leave her there or walk past her and say, that's not my problem. Look at her. Look at the state of her, you know, and leave her to be picked up by somebody else. So, you know, that looking after yourself, but looking after others is maybe the message that we're trying to get out there.
Dr. Mary Hainsworth, manager of the Donegal Domestic Violence Services, thank you very much indeed. And the finding is that 13% of people in the Republic of Ireland agreed that women who were sexually assaulted while affected by alcohol or drugs are partially to blame for what happened. And I suppose, you know, if we wanted to put some sort of a positive spin on it, 87% of those who were surveyed didn't believe that. And maybe that's something, some shred of positivity to look at. But obviously we need to keep this under control. And as you say, more conversation and more discussion. For the moment, Emery Hainsworth, thank you very much indeed.